Welcome to The Jump, I'm Cassidy Hubbard. Hope springs eternal. At least that's the latest feeling out of Brooklyn. KD says he envisions Kyrie will be a part of the team, but will Durant have an imprint on Kyrie's decision? Meanwhile, one executive says that trading Ben Simmons will cause a terrible precedent in the league. Should that idea influence the Sixers' next move? The sky shocked the WNBA world after an upset of the top-seeded Sun. We'll hear from hometown star Candace Parker and her emotional perspective on their historic run. And after another John Collins poster, we'll look at the greatest alley-oop posters in NBA history. It's time to take flight as The Jump starts now. I can hear my dad saying, was that the triple threat position? Because I don't think it was. I'll just tell him that. Can't really catch a bounce pass in heels that well. NBA champion Kendrick Perkins and the host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe, with us for the whole hour today. And gentlemen, like we have so many times lately, we begin in Brooklyn as the Nets have no further update on Kyrie's status. The vaccine mandates in New York prevent Kyrie from practicing or playing in Brooklyn if he stays unvaccinated, potentially costing him $380,000 per game over a 41-game home season. But Kevin Durant stayed hopeful Wednesday on his teammates' future availability.
I'm envisioning Kyrie being a part of our team. Maybe I'm just naive, but that's just how I feel. But I think everybody here has that confidence in themselves and our group. And if we keep building, we can do something special. It's far bigger than myself and each one of us individually. This is one man's personal decision on his well-being. So I got to sit back and just observe and see what's happening and, keep coming in here and practice every day and going hard every rep. So I think everybody has that mentality.
So Katie sounds hopeful, but Perk, when you listen to those comments, what do they tell you about the relationship between Katie and Kyrie right now?
I mean, it's hard, but listening to not only Kevin Durant, but listening to Steve Nash when he was asked about the situation a few days ago, to me, it feels like some frustration is building up. And here's why, right? Kyrie Irving was supposed to been get vaccinated, right? He had appointments that he missed. He told the team that he was going to get vaccinated. He still hasn't got vaccinated. And KD is sitting back, and sooner or later he's going to say, hey, bro, like, you know, we all supposed to be here to be in this together. I came to Brooklyn because of you. You came to Brooklyn because of me. We got James Harden here because we were supposed to be able to have one goal, and that's to win the championship. And also, it's messing up contract extensions. It was supposed to be Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, then James Harden. They were supposed to open night with everybody under contract and everything. So I'm looking at what Kevin Durant said yesterday, and to me, it sounds like it's some frustration that's building up. And KD is supposed to say, hey, you know what? I got to focus on the guys that's here. Every guy that got to believe. I believe in the guys that's here. I'm going to continue to punch in the work. Kyrie is a grown man, and he's going to make a decision for himself.
And playing in the NBA is business, but, you know, it's no secret that they're friends, Perk. So how should KD be handling this situation as a close friend of Kyrie, or should be strictly a business approach?
Well, I mean, Cassidy, when you think about it, look, KD and DeAndre Jordan and Kyrie Irving were all close friends. All three of those guys went to Brooklyn on a package deal. It was planned. We all talk about KD and Kyrie, but DeAndre Jordan was thrown in there as well when he signed his four-year, $40 million contract. So with that being said, KD didn't have a problem with signing off to get rid of DeAndre Jordan, you know, because he wasn't producing. And we all know that Kyrie Irving is a special talent. But what I'm saying is when it comes down to it, you have James Harden, who's there, another top 10 player in the league. And if you're Kevin Durant, you have to go to Kyrie Irving and say, hey, bro, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because we're trying to win a championship, and you told us, you gave us your word as a friend that you were going to get vaccinated. If I'm Kevin Durant, look, I got to put the pressure. I got to hold his feet to the fire because they can't afford to lose James Harden, and he hasn't signed on the dotted line yet.
Zach, if you're Steve Nash, Sean Marks, and the Nets, does it even make sense to play Kyrie just 41 away games and not practice in Brooklyn if he stays unvaccinated?
First of all, amen to Perk. He just got the situation exactly right, including the fact that Kyrie Irving is staring at a contract extension worth almost $200 million, which is not going to be firmly offered to him, I don't think, until he gets vaccinated. Look, to your question, Cassidy, I want to talk about team, camaraderie, friendship, commitment, all of that stuff. I believe it to my core. Perk believes it to his core. I still think if your choice is no Kyrie Irving or 41 games of Kyrie Irving, if your choice is no Kyrie Irving or game seven on the road against Milwaukee, we can have Kyrie Irving. I still think the talent is the talent and you got to make it work. But to Perk's point, all of August, all of September, we kept hearing, those of us who are asking these questions, we kept hearing from the Nets, don't worry, don't worry, it's going to happen. Once everyone else does it, he'll do it. Stop asking, it's going to be okay. But guess what? Season's about to start. It hasn't happened yet. And the longer it goes, the more that frustration is going to build.
I mean, can you imagine if we get to this point where in the playoffs he's taking, you know, games off from home and playing in a way like, look, we don't have a grasp really on how many games he's going to play this season. We also don't have a grasp on how many potential games Ben Simmons could miss this season. Simmons still isn't at training camp as the Sixers face the Raptors tonight, a game that would cost Simmons roughly $360,000 off his salary. But as Philly continues to look for another trade partner, an unnamed Eastern exec told SI this, quote, F that. You let a guy force his way out with 4 years left on a max contract and you set a terrible precedent. They can't cave. Zach, does that precedent need to be in the minds of the Sixers front office as they pursue a trade?
Here's where that executive is wrong, though. They're not caving. And they're not caving because they're not paying him. The NBA has been building to this moment for years and years and years. From Jimmy Butler to James Harden to Anthony Davis to every player that's requested a trade, which, by the way, teams trade players all the time at the drop of a hat. I don't think a trade request is some big unfair thing. I do think when you sign a contract, you have made a commitment to play basketball in exchange for money. And the big test case was going to be when a player did this with years left on his contract, would the team have the guts to say, you get $0 and you're getting none of it or almost none of it back? So I don't think the precedent, if you care about precedent, is all that quote unquote bad for teams. If the Sixers claw back all that money and say, hey, you're getting zero or almost zero until you play for us and trade him for a good return, which, by the way, is still on the table. If they trade Ben Simmons, I bet they're going to get a good return if they play their cards right, if they get some breaks around the league, like a couple of teams get desperate, get off to bad starts or whatever. So I'm not as worried as that executive. I get why everybody is watching this. Everybody's worried. But the money was the big question, and the Sixers are answering that question. They're not caving to Ben Simmons. They're saying, you get nothing, and we're going to trade you and stay away as long as you like.
Well, I mean, listen, I tried to warn the world a few weeks ago that the 76ers were not budging, right? The ownership group, it's not Elton Brand, it's not Daryl Morey, it's not Doc Rivers. The ownership group is standing firm. They have plans on sending a message that, hey, you're not going to play horrible and then put the responsibility on us to trade you and get back something that we don't want. And I knew that this time was going to come where you was going to face some ownership group that's going to say, hey, not over here, because like the executive said, it's not like a James Harden or Anthony Davis situation because they only had 1 year left on their deal. This guy signed to 4 years. So at the end of the day, it's like, no, you're not going to underperform and then put the pressure on us and say we have to deal with it. And I knew that the owners were going to do this. And you know what? If an executive from another team spoke out publicly, can you only imagine what executives and ownership groups are talking about behind the scenes right now? They can't wait till the next CBA. I'm telling you, the next CBA comes up, it is not going to work in the players' favor.
But, Perk, ultimately, what's more important, though? You know, that precedent or protecting Joel Embiid's prime?
Well, I mean, look, Cassidy, Joel Embiid came out. When he spoke in his interview and he let loose, that let me further know that, hey, we're willing to move on. Like Joel Embiid said, he had to take that leadership role and speak up because the guys that he do have with him right now that is going to go to war with him, he has to make sure that they feel comfortable. So that goes to show me that, one, he's sticking up for his organization and he has the back of his teammates. And so to me, it's collectively. Joel wasn't just speaking up for Joel. He was speaking up for Philly in general.
I mean, Perk, I don't know if you saw, but I think Zach was saying that you were preaching the gospel.
Oh, Zach, look, but listen, you got to get one of those books and start fanning yourself.
That's the execution of that. Okay. Speaking of setting a precedent, guys, how about this? The L.A. City Council approved an ordinance that requires proof of vaccination at indoor and entertainment venues, including at Staples Center. Now, the Lakers and Clippers have previously stated their teams are fully vaccinated, but Tim Bontemps reports that this new mandate won't affect visiting players, as is the case in New York and San Francisco. And look, in a lot of conversations that I've been having with players, it's this that really is confusing players, vaccinated or unvaccinated. Perk, are these mandates not affecting visiting players, causing more difficulty than benefit throughout the league?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, majority of the NBA, I think is what, 95, 96% of the players are vaccinated, so they don't really have to worry about that. But here's the thing, right, Cassidy, when you think about what's going on, I think it's just the start of a ripple effect, right? I think we're going to see more states start doing the same thing. We watch New York, we watch San Francisco, now we're watching Los Angeles do it, and sooner or later we're going to have Wisconsin, a city like Wisconsin, or maybe even Phoenix. They're going to start to do it because it's just, I mean, this is what the world is coming to nowadays. I don't know if Texas is going to do it because I live in Texas and I'd rather not speak on Abbott. You know, we have our history from the ice storm, but I'm just saying, listen, at the end of the day, this is what's about to happen. It's about to be a ripple effect, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot more cities start following lead and doing the same thing.
Yeah, we can get caught up with this ordinance and that ordinance and who does it apply to and who does it not apply to. The bottom line, like Perk said, 95% of players are already vaccinated. 100% or close to 100% of coaches, executives, league personnel are vaccinated. And city by city, place by place, with some exceptions, like Perk mentioned, I don't know what the heck is going on in Florida, for instance, vaccination is basically going to be a requirement for participation in public society or something close to that. So this is just going to keep on rolling, going down in age to kids and all of that. It's just going to become a fact of life. So we get caught up in every little story like this, and how does it affect the NBA championship? How does it affect the Clippers and the Lakers? This is a broader human issue that is just going to get broader and broader and broader.
No doubt, but the numbers still show that, you know, about 20 players are unvaccinated, which just doesn't make sense to a lot of players, vaccinated or unvaccinated, like I said, is how, you know, a Brooklyn Net who's unvaccinated, if you will, can play in MSG in the same city. I think that's like the confusion when we're talking about these cities who have these mandates. So
it's weird.
It's weird. It's weird. And it's just one thing to kind of like poke a hole. What, Perk?
I don't know what's going on today, but Zach is agreeing with
I know.
Thursday.
Did y'all just become best friends? I don't know what happened there. All right. Meanwhile, I've got to pivot to, you know, an update on a developing story, guys. 18 former NBA players are among 19 charged for defrauding the NBA's health and welfare benefit plan out of nearly $4 million. Among those players are Tony Allen, Darius Miles, Glenn Davis, and Sebastian Telfair. U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss broke down the alleged scheme today.
The leader of the conspiracy was former NBA player Terrence Williams. And here's how it worked. First, Williams obtained fraudulent medical and dental invoices. Second, he sent those invoices to his co-conspirators, other former NBA players. Third, the co-conspirators submitted the fraudulent claims to the plan. Fourth, unaware that the claims were fraudulent, the plan paid most of the defendants' claims. And fifth, in many cases, the defendants paid kickbacks to Williams.
We'll keep you updated as this story develops. Coming up, we'll get to the action on the court and another incredible lob finish by John Collins. Plus, we look at the greatest alley-oop posters of all time. That was nasty. But first, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 2019 involving Marcus Morris.
Start this third quarter. And Morris and Anderson had been jawing before the quarter started. Now they're going at
so it. Disrespectful.
That's rude. Rude.
Rude.
You can't do that.
That's what you two used to be like.
Justin Anderson,
that was the old perk. So did you see this? Steph and Draymond trying to get a high five in after a timeout was called and Aaron Gordon wasn't having it. Perk, did you ever do this? Because I don't know why it seems like this is something you would have done.
It would have, but he done it in a friendly manner, okay? And one thing about the teams that I was on, if you didn't have the same name or same jersey that we had on, it wasn't just smiles and hee-hees and ha-has. But guess what? This is just the new generation.
It was showing the Steph video from the Garden. Zach, I mean, what you think of Aaron Gordon there?
Remember when Rocky, the mascot in Denver, did his half-court shot and Russell Westbrook wasn't having it and blocked it? Anything to defeat morale on the other team. Any little thing you got, any little edge, you got to take it.
Perk, you're saying that you're more like Russ in that perspective. Yeah. I get it.
Serious.
Fun guy, what's up, baby?
What it do, baby?
Make, miss. It's a make or miss league, baby. That's it.
Make, range, Boban hit not one, but two third quarter triples. Zach, is it time for the Mavs to unleash Boban?
Obviously, they unleashed him in the playoffs last year, too, and they played zone. Every NBA game is like 25% more entertaining once Boban gets in the game. More Boban.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's around here joking about it, but it looks really good. He's stepping into it. He's serious about it. Like, he's been working on it. This is a good shot.
He's honestly one of the greatest humans that has ever lived. And I feel very strongly about that comment. Miss! Posterity, Lakers Suns, AD out and running after the Crowder miss, and Davis catches Crowder below the belt. Remember, this happened in the playoffs last year, too. Perk, what's going on here?
I mean, you know, it's called get back, but I don't think he's done it on purpose, but you just never know with some of these guys. I mean, it's just get back. You know, Jay Crowder do love to stir the pot. That's my guy. You never know. It could be a little get back. You forgot he was saucing a little bit, the little Braun saucer dance. It could have been some kickback, get back.
I was going to say, Jay Crowder salsa danced the Lakers right out of the playoffs. If you're going to do that, you're going to do that.
Right.
I'm just saying.
You're going to get cut.
Hey, Zach, let me say it again.
Make elevation. Cavs, Hawks, Cam Reddish is healthy and dunking. Zach, more from this game in a minute, but is the Highlight Factory back in business?
Oh, the Hawks are legit. The Hawks are like 12 deep in good NBA players. Cam Reddish, we've barely seen him scratch the surface. It was a lost year for him. I can't wait to watch the Hawks. Anyone who thinks last year was a fluke, get ready to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Hawks are must-see TV. They got athleticism. They got Ice Tray. There's going to be a lot of dunks, but can I please see Zach do that salsa dance?
No, one time only. One time only.
I love how you guys are getting along today. Miss rim protection, staying in Atlanta. Look at John Collins soar over Jared Allen. This isn't the first time he's called Allen either. You're talking about one of the league's best shot blockers too. Perk, is Collins hunting him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Collins is so athletic, it's ridiculous, but I mean, this is not the last poster he's gonna have. I mean, that's what he do. He put guys in the basket. God bless America.
I mean, that's a true poster too, Zach. Like, you know, there's a lot of people who say like any kind of dunk is a poster. This is the definition of a poster.
And by the way, credit Jared Allen. He's never afraid to get put on a poster. He'll go right after the next shot at the rim. He's not afraid. He does not make business decisions.
But also is why he's one of the best shot blockers, because he takes that chance, you know, risk reward. This one was just too good, so we had to honor it by running it back to the best alley-oop posterizations ever. We start in 2009, Iggy on Yao.
Oh.
What do we think about that, Perk? On Yao.
I mean, any time, Yao, God bless his heart. He got caught on so many posters, but anytime you able to dunk on a 7'6" guy, you got your,
Yeah. Make way for rookie MJ, 1984. This is just a thing of beauty.
I mean.
And so are those jerseys. The Script Chicago, 2011, Dwight on Drew Holiday.
Look at the big.
Yes. That's a bench mom reaction.
Do you know how mad we would have been, you know, like if a guy would have celebrated or made a reaction like that? But bigs dunking on little guys don't count.
Don't do that.
Don't do that to Jason Terry. Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, that was wrong, man. He get back on defense and Norris Cole just. Braun is out of line for that.
And that's what, like, that, memes
no, that
were.
That was some 2011. That was some 2011 finals angst coming out right there.
Number one, DeAndre Jordan says night-night to Brandon Knight. That face, I mean, that's one of the best, like, NBA memes out there. I think we need to get that back in the rotation. I don't see that as much on my timeline. Like, that look.
Made an emphasis to cock it back. Like, he didn't even have to cock it back the way he did. That's just wrong.
It is wrong. Zach,
I think he felt a little guilty. I think he was like, oh, that really, that hurt him? Sorry.
I do not think he felt guilty at all. That was like, I did that to him. All right, coming up on The Jump, how about the Chicago Sky? They're headed to the WNBA Finals. We've got the breakdown of their big Game 4 win over the Sun. Keep it locked right here. You're watching The Jump. A shocker in the WNBA last night as the 16-16 Chicago Sky are headed to the WNBA Finals. The Sky eliminated the top-seeded Sun 79-69 behind 19 from Courtney Vandersloot and 17-9-7 from Candace Parker. Parker explained post-game about what it meant to her to advance in her home city.
It means so much. I mean, looking up in the stands and seeing familiar faces, and I grew up playing in front of these people, and it really is emotional. I mean, I know we're not done yet. We don't want it to be done yet, but you sometimes have to stop and think and really, really appreciate this moment. I mean, this team is special. We've battled through adversity. We've believed in each other. I want to always bring honor to Pat. In these moments, I always remember her.
Not fun fact, I played against Candace Parker in high school. We did not win. The Sky, though, they won, and they're just the third team in WNBA history where a team that finished 500 or worse reached the finals. Coincidentally, when they made the finals in 2014, they were also below 500. No squad has ever won the championship as a 500 or below team. In the other semifinal, the Aces force a deciding fifth game after beating the Mercury 93-76 behind a 24-0 run in the third quarter. Chelsea Gray led all scorers with 22 and described the fight of her squad postgame.
This is a win or go home moment, and we just had to play it to the end, and I'm so proud of this team and our fight each and every quarter. We're not ready to go home yet. We're not ready to pack. Bill said it's a 200-minute series. That's why they invent a series for playoffs, man. That was just the message coming in to this game and at halftime.
What's your confidence right now, knowing you just forced a Game 5 at home in Vegas?
We back home with the best fans, so I'm excited, man.
And it all comes down to this tomorrow night. Win or go home, Game 5 in the WNBA playoff semis. Mercury versus Aces. Winner faces the Sky in the WNBA Finals. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on the ESPN2 and the app. Now, as we welcome back Zach and Perk. Zach, We went through your top NBA tiers yesterday. You have a great article on ESPN Plus right now. But now it's time to look at the teams that may think they are contenders but could actually be at risk for the play-in, starting in the East. Zach, the four teams you picked at risk of worrying about a play-in are the Hawks, Celtics, 76ers, and the Heat. Now, which team do you feel is most in danger, Zach?
So those four with Brooklyn and Milwaukee enter as the top six in the East, but most in danger, this might be a controversial decision. This might surprise you. I'm going to go with the team whose second best player hasn't shown up to training camp and wants to get traded, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. Until we see how the Ben Simmons situation resolves itself, yeah, they've still got Danny Green and Seth Curry, and Tyrese Maxey was ready for the moment against the Hawks in the playoffs and all that. But if you go from Ben Simmons to a zero on a roster spot like that, that's a big, big drop off. So I think the Sixers of those four are at most risk right now until we see how that Simmons situation is resolved.
No, I agree with you, Zach. And it's just that type of Thursday. So it ain't Holy Thursday, but it's something similar to it. And I'm agreeing with you. Like, you can't lose Ben Simmons in the way that the Miami Heat has got better right in this offseason on paper. You look at the Atlanta Hawks, they're going to continue to get better. And even the Boston Celtics got better. I think they're flying under the radar. So the team that's in danger for the play-in, I'm actually going with you, and that's the 76ers. Now, look, I will say this. I went out on a limb, and I still have them as my MVP of the saying that they are not going to be in the playoff hunt. But if I had to pick out of those four, I got to go with the 76ers because of the Ben Simmons situation.
All right. Well, I don't know why I have a feeling you guys are going to disagree on the West. So let's look out there and focus on the Nuggets and reigning MVP Nikola Jokic, the Clippers without Kawhi for the foreseeable future, and the Warriors waiting on Klay to return. Perk, we'll start with you. Which of those three teams are most at risk for the play-in?
You know what? I would go with the Clippers. Look, the Warriors and Nuggets are making the playoffs, and the Clippers are making the playoffs. One thing I will not do is doubt Ty Lue. I just want to know, why is the Dallas Mavericks not up there? This is a team that was straddling the fence last year, the Dallas Mavericks, and they brought back the same team. We have yet to really see if Porzingis and Luka could fit when it matters the most. So when And I'm looking at those teams, the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Nuggets, they're going to make the playoffs. The Mavericks are who I'm concerned about.
Zach?
I'm going to have to have a drink after the show because I keep agreeing with Perk and it's starting to worry me a little bit. Of those three teams, it's easily the Clippers. I think the Nuggets, as long as they have the MVP healthy, Michael Porter Jr. is ready to be a number two scorer. They've got good depth. I think they'll be fine. The Warriors, if they can just hold the fort, and they rediscovered their identity in the last 20 or 30 games of last season, if they can just hold the fort playing that way until Klay comes back, I think they're okay. The Clippers without Kawhi, their offense was just average when he was on the bench, even when Paul George played. Ibaka hasn't come back yet from injury. They've got a lot of interesting pieces. They got new pieces in Eric Bledsoe. I just feel like they're a little uncertain. They have more to figure out about themselves than those other two teams. So I guess I gotta agree with Perk. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, it's...
No, Zach. You didn't agree with me because I didn't pick either one of them. I picked the Dallas Mavericks. Look, we're underestimating the Clippers, right? When we saw out of Paul George last year, he thrives at his best when he's the number one option. And then we saw Reggie Jackson, right? Started to look like the Reggie Jackson that we thought he was going to look like in Detroit. And we heard what he said, the Clippers, they saved my career, right? We know that Marcus Morris is a guy that is capable of averaging 18 to 20 points on high percentage. And Nicholas Batum has found his niche as well. And we already know what Tyronn Lue is. He's going to show out. He thrives best when their adversity hit. He showed us that last year.
Just embrace the friendship. Because, you know, the Mavericks weren't even an option, but we're going to go with it. Just embrace the friendship. This is how today is going. And as I'm looking at this segment and all these teams, all I want to say is the league is alive and well. A lot of young talent. And speaking of, coming up, Nate McMillan utilized MJ as an example to motivate Trae Young's growth. What can Trae learn from his airness? But first, here's our second distant replay featuring Perk, your actual best friend, Richard Jefferson.
Good, good hand. Jefferson had a contested. Holiday's done a good job defensively. There's y'all again. Richard Jefferson!
Oh!
No.
That was the New Jersey Nets.
Oh, don't give RJ.
RJ did a good job of
somewhere RJ's TikToking about this. I, you know. A lot of limbs were flying last night. Austin Rivers on the wing. Here comes Draymond with the flying knee. Perk, finally a foul call. Draymond can't argue.
Yeah, right. And he's known for kicking and kneeing people.
Zach, it reminded us of, remember this? Bruce Bowen's flying kick on Wally Szczerbiak? No, this was way worse.
Dang.
These are like WWE finishing moves. I mean, these will put you down for the three count.
I know. Wally was getting kicked in the face in the game and at practice for Wally.
Don't let the bow tie fool you. I mean, he really, there was no attempt for an actual play on the ball. It was all kick, all the way.
I feel like I've worked my whole life for this moment, playing the playoffs. It feels good.
Oh, nice try. One fires, one more dagger.
I know where we are. I know what they do when the show is over.
Trae Young with a miraculous shot.
Just gotta let my play do the talking.
I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit for all his perfect reactions during the playoffs. Like, he had so many movements. Anyways, welcome back to The Jump. I'm Cassidy Hubbard with Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe. And Trae Young put on a show last postseason against the Knicks and the 76ers. Now his coach has an interesting comparison of how Trae can take the next step. Nate McMillan told Sports Illustrated, he's got one of those fast cars. You can't drive that car the same way on a sunny day as you can when it's raining and snowing out there. And he was playing fast. He was taking the same shots that he was taking in the first quarter and in the fourth quarter. He wasn't adapting to conditions. It's similar to Michael Jordan when he first came into the league. He started to trust his teammates and then he started winning championships. Now, last season, Trae was fourth in points created behind only Westbrook, Harden, and Luka. But this is more about the how Trae is doing it. And Perk, what do you think of Nate McMillan's analogy on Trae's growth this season?
You know what? I actually love it. And I think people would take it out of context. But what he's saying is that, hey, I have a superstar. Yes, Trae Young is a superstar. And we all know that he's capable of going out there and getting, you know, 28 to 30 points a night. But the good ones do it at a high efficiency rate. The great ones do it at a high efficiency rate and making others around him better. So what he's telling Trae Young is that, hey, I love the numbers. We know that you're a superstar. I love the numbers. I love the stats. I love everything about your game. Now let's take it to another level. Let's be more efficient and let's make others around us better. I used to tell guys all the time, hey, look, first, second, and third quarter, the superstars that I play with, hey, get others involved. In the fourth quarter, take it over. This is why you get paid the big bucks. And this is how you get to that level of winning championships. Because, again, this is not an individual sport like boxing or tennis. You actually need your teammates to help you win.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the analogy was great. It really put in perspective and gave you the feeling of understanding that he was playing fast and maybe sometimes slowing it down allows you to have a better grasp of the game. But, Zach, do you think that Trae Young's game can take even another step this season?
Yeah, and I think the transition Nate McMillan is talking about already started happening last year. The last 20, 30 games of the season into the playoffs, you could see him get in the lane, and instead of prodding, waiting for that pass that will get him an assist every time, if the defense converges, hey, here, Kevin Huerter, you make a play. DeAndre Hunter, you make a play. You make a dribble, drive, and kick. We'll keep the machine moving. I might not get an assist, maybe I'll get a hockey assist, but guess what? Everyone feels more involved. The offense starts flowing a little better. I still get my numbers because I'm Trey freaking Young and I'm amazing. Yes. And guys, when they feel involved on offense, Perk can talk about this. When guys feel involved in offense, players talk about this all the time. It flows over to the other end. They're willing to give more on defense. They play harder. The spirit of the game changes. It's a small little change. It doesn't require a total reinvention of Trae Young's game. But you could see it start happening last year. And I think it's one of the reasons the Hawks did as well as they did in the playoffs.
And also, you can't.
Zach, diving into deep game analysis because that can't. He was so right. Look, seriously, we used to start when I was with the Thunder. We used to make sure that we got Serge Ibaka. We ran the first play of the game for Serge Ibaka. You know why? Once he got involved offensively, we knew he was going to get 8 to 10 blocks that game. Look at Zach.
I mean, Perk, have you ever read a Zach Lowe article? Those things take you about 25 minutes to read. Like, there's a whole darn breakdown. You know, he's going to break it down for you.
I haven't seen a 4 hour of Zach speaking the gospel.
Right.
I look at you.
I will say you can't teach the type of confidence that Trae Young has. So that's a good starting point. And from a budding star guard to an all-time legend in the backcourt, Allen Iverson played almost 11 seasons in Philly, winning the Rookie of the Year, an NBA MVP, and drove the Sixers to their only NBA Finals appearance in the last 28 seasons. Yet, the 76ers icon is not a part of the franchise staff. Recently, Allen Iverson was asked that very question by Taylor Rooks.
I've been retired, 11 years? Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm not a part of that staff some kind of way.
Yeah.
And the money thing ain't got nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me being me and me being a Sixer and wanting to help. I don't know why. Nothing's been put in place for me. And I still love y'all. Don't get it twisted. It's all love here and ain't gonna never go nowhere. But I just, there's something that I just don't understand.
Perk, what's the one thing that Coach Iverson would bring to the 76ers?
I mean, look, when you look at just last week with San Antonio, office where he's gonna be able to be a consultant. Right.
Well, Perk, we lost a little bit of your sound here, so we're just going to pause for a second and pivot over to Zach because I do want to get your thoughts, okay, Zach, on you know, Iverson's comments and if you think, you know, his presence could be positive there in that locker room.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even have to be locker room, coaching, front office. There's lots of jobs that iconic ex-players have for their team. That this is just a conversation where Allen Iverson and the Sixers owners need to get in a room and say, hey, you want to be part of our team? Let's talk about what capacity that makes sense in. And I think there's the easy solution. I mean, it's Allen Iverson. He is an icon in Philadelphia. If both sides want to make this happen, they want to commit to it, they want to make the time commitment and all of that, this can happen. It's just like that.
But do you think, you know, Allen Iverson's statement about not being asked to be a part of the team says more about AI or the 76ers?
I don't know. I don't know why he's not part of the team. I don't know what the situation really is. But I do know, again, that superstar players from cities, they have played almost their entire career in a city. If they want to be involved in a team, they're generally going to be involved in a team. It just seems like there's some sort of disconnect here. It should be easy to solve.
Well, we're going to continue working on getting Perk's mic back as we, head to break here because We have a final push here to the end of the hour, but before we go, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Mark Spears, one-on-one profile with LaMelo Ball, the secret behind the Rookie of the Year swagger on the court, and his relationship with Michael Jordan off of it. We've been talking a lot about the MJ GOAT, if you will. Fascinating look into what makes LaMelo such a special talent. Check it out, and we'll debate LaMelo versus Ja Morant after the break. We'll see you at 4 Eastern right here on ESPN for NFL Live, just a few hours ahead of Rams Seahawks and NFC West showdown. We've got live reports, everything you need to know about the game, plus we're going to pick it, find out who we take at 4. Thanks, Laura. It's crunch time here on The Jump. 36-year-old newly acquired Lakers forward Trevor Ariza underwent surgery on his right ankle Wednesday. The team announced that he would be reevaluated in approximately 8 weeks. Perk, with Ariza sidelined for at least 2 months, who do you see the Lakers leaning on?
Taylor Norton Tucker and Monk, both of those young guys are now going to get an opportunity to come in. I knew THT was going to get the opportunity, but now Monk is probably going to get some of those minutes, and I expect them to thrive with.
Zach, concerning?
It's concerning in just in that Trevor Ariza is probably the best defensive player of all those wings the Lakers signed after the Russell Westbrook trade, but I agree with Perk. THT is going to get a shot. I think Ken Bazemore could get a lot of minutes. Kendrick Nunn. They've got a lot of guys to cycle through, but Ariza's defense could be potentially important for this team.
All right, I want to move on to our league pass game of the night. Grizzlies visiting the Hornets at 7 Eastern, the last two rookie of the year go at it for some preseason action, which got us thinking. Zach, who would you rather have for the next 5 years, Ja Morant or LaMelo Ball?
Are you trying to ruin my day?
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is one of those gotcha questions.
Are you trying to inflict pain on me? Are you trying to hurt me? Because this hurts me. But if you're going to force me to choose between two unbelievable young players, two guys I'd love to have on my team, I am going to bite my tongue, swallow hard, and pick LaMelo Ball, because at the end of the day, I'm going size and playmaking. And that's what I'm going to make my decision based on. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Perk?
Well, I'm not going to bite my tongue, and I'm definitely not going to swallow. Go, John. Go, Bob. But John Morant is just different, right? We saw what he did last year in the postseason against the number one team in the NBA. We also saw, you know, what he did throughout the course of the season. Look, this guy has the athleticism of Russell Westbrook, handles of Kyrie Irving, and the passing ability of Rajon Rondo. He is special. I'm going with Ja Morant.
See, Perk, look, we ended the show and you got what you wanted. You finally disagreed with Zach. See how things come full circle. You know what you also wanted? You wanted another look at Zach Salsa. So I think we should give that to you.
No.
Come on.
Yes. No. Yes. Perk.
That's pretty good. Come on. That's not bad.
I think you did it. Move over, Eli Manning. You're the new guy on the ESPN airwaves showing how to move the hips.
I'm never coming on this show again. I'm done. I'm out.
Perk, we're just going to keep running this. Are you just taking it all in?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hey, listen, that was a good moment for Jake. Good moment for Jay Crowder, by the way.
It was. It was a pretty good moment. Perk, we're going to get you some better cell service next time. Zach, we appreciate you as always. There we go. See, we got to end on the smile. Perk, you don't want to give a little salsa? Oh, maybe tomorrow. As The Jump returns. And NFL Live right now is next.